Principal Matters Podcast, episode 393. Hi, friends. This is Will Parker, host of Principal Matters, the School Leaders Podcast, where each week we bring you inspiring, innovative, and imaginative ideas for your school leadership. This week, we're going to be talking about turnaround leadership with my special guest, Dr. Tamika Hyland. Dr. Tamika Hyland is a transformative educational leader. As principal of Sherman Avenue Elementary, she and her team raised its score from D to C and scored the second highest reading scores in Mississippi within 2 years. And as the executive principal at Vicksburg High School, her team not only increased the graduation rate to a historic 91%, but also elevated its grade from D to B. Under her leadership, the school became a national lighthouse school of excellence and saw record enrollments in dual courses and advanced placement. Dr. Hyland is also a thought leader in education, authoring The Reality of Teaching and her upcoming book, U-Turn, a Recipe for School Reform. She's also the founder of the Teacher Leadership Academy, offering professional development and the Empowering Future Women Mentoring Program, aiding young ladies in grades 9 through 12. With degrees spanning from childhood development to educational leadership, Dr. Hyland is deeply invested in school reform and strategies to elevate student achievement. She is an education powerhouse committed to excellence. Dr. Tamika Hyland, it is so great to have you in the room. Why don't you fill in the gaps on that intro and tell listeners something else they may be surprised to know about you?
Well, first of all, hello, everyone. I am also a motivational speaker, and I work with school leaders and district leaders to develop structures to deter chronic student absenteeism as well.
That's a great thing to add. I want to give some context, Tamika, because the first time I met you was in March of 2023. In Tupelo, Mississippi. I was speaking from my book, Pause, Breathe, Flourish, with Mississippi principals and superintendents. You were leading a session on strategies for school improvement and turnaround. And I had the privilege to sit under your leadership and teaching in that session. And I have been trying to get you on this show ever since. And so here we are, almost a year later. And I finally get a chance to get Tamika Hyland in the room. Welcome to Principal Matters. Here's what I'd love to do in this conversation. You have such a history of school turnarounds. And one of the reasons it's so hard to get you in the room is because you are busy helping people turn around schools. Here's what I would love to the place I would like to start first. Why don't you set the stage, tell you a little bit more of your story of how you found yourself as a turnaround leader, and then we'll jump into some other questions.
Well, to start, I believe that every child deserves to attend a high-performing school. And oftentimes, we get caught up in barriers that are preventing students from performing rather than looking at solutions. So my team and I are experts in our respective areas, whether it's content, leadership, systems improvement, or parent and community engagement. And we look at transforming schools as a calling, doing our part to make organizations better for children and educators. And we serve as a model of best practices that school leaders can use to have high performing schools.
So take me back, and we can go back to Sherman, or we can go back to Vicksburg High School. And tell us that story. How have you lived the things that you're helping other school leaders to do?
I was fortunate enough to have a superintendent who believed in my leadership. And he saw great potential in me. And he gave me my first shot at being a building principal when he gave me Sherman Avenue Elementary School. It was a school that was known for scoring historically low, low test scores, low teacher morale, high teacher turnover rate. And he told me to go to Sherman Avenue and make it the best place that I could possibly make it. And so when I got the assignment, I went in with the attitude that I was going to leave Sherman Avenue better than how I found it. So we started putting systems in place, structures in place. We also changed their perception of the school. the appearance of the school, we started painting walls, putting things up. For example, there was a big sign that said leadership outside of the front office. And that wasn't only to let people know, hey, that's the front office. Leadership was the what we cultivated within the organization. And that went from teacher leadership, student leadership, parent leadership, because there were various committees that we started where it was parent led. Students had ownership of their data, so they were able to have data talks. We had student led conferences as low as pre-kindergarten, where students were talking about the colors that they had learned, needed to learn, the sight words that they had learned, and how they were progressing and learning their sounds with phonemic awareness. So we did everything possible to make sure that Sherman Avenue was a thriving and productive organization.
Sometimes I'll sit across people, Tamika, who either support schools or maybe they care deeply about their schools, or maybe they've grown a little cynical about schools. And they'll ask me the question that is impossible to answer in 30 seconds, which is, well, so many schools are struggling. What's the answer? And what I want to do in that moment, and sometimes I actually do, is like, can I just introduce you to some of my friends who actually have transformed schools? And Tamika, you're one of them. And one of the things that I love about your leadership and about that summary that you just gave on systems and structures and perceptions and making everyone a leader, including your students, is your commitment to a vision. So can you talk a little bit about why vision is such an important part of school transformation?
As the leader, you are given an assignment to go in and make that organization better. And you are given the vision as the leader, and it's up to you to impart that vision in everyone else. So you have to create a culture where people buy in. And buying in does not mean that they are committed to every part of the vision or believe in the vision wholeheartedly at first, but you have given them enough hope and enough tools to where they can see the vision come to fruition down the road. By doing that, you give all of your people within the organization a platform. Everybody wants to be seen. Everyone wants to be heard. And believe it or not, everybody has a gift that they can actually bring to the table. If you are the smartest person in the room, guess what? You are in the wrong room. But the good thing about having a vision is you have to believe in that vision yourself. You cannot waver from it. You have to know that, hey, I'm doing the right thing. I'm making decisions that are best for children, best for the educators who have chosen to serve under me, and I'm doing what's best for the community in which I serve. So make sure that whatever vision that you have, you put those structures in place, systems in place, so that people will know, hey, she really knows what she's talking about. And people have a tendency to believe in your vision once they start seeing results.
What I love about that, Tamika, is that vision gives you the foundation on which to build everything else. And let's be really practical. Let's say you're stepping into a situation with student behavior and you're trying to decide, like, how do I both manage and respond to the student behavior, support the teachers involved, respond to the parents' concerns? And you and I both know that motivation could push you a lot of different directions. Like, okay, what's the decision that will make the least number of people unhappy? Or what's the decision that keeps me looking like a strong leader? But both of those are based on like fear or ego. And so, but when the decision is based on, okay, what is the vision of the school? Mm-hmm. Which is to create, as you said earlier, the best possible place that any student would want to be for their achievement. Then I'm going to guide that decision based on that unwavering vision. What would you add to that?
I would say that sometimes, even with our parents, especially in my opinion, with the implementation of Common Core, a lot of parents really don't know where they fit anymore in their children's education. The way that we taught some of our foundational skills is totally different. It's different from the way that they were taught. So sometimes when we hear the voice of parents, yeah, they may be angry, but sometimes It's fear because they don't know where they fit in their child's education. So sometimes you have to bring your parents in, hear them out, and clear up any misconceptions that they may have about what you're trying to do or the vision or what are you trying to accomplish in your organization. And sometimes your angriest parents sometimes will become your biggest supporters if you give them a platform or opportunity to buy in and have a voice and a seat at the table as you move the vision forward.
So let's stay there for a minute, because I know that one of the other principles that you live by is that we can't do this alone. And so talk about in what ways that leaders can be leveraging the people within their school communities to achieve that vision of school improvement.
You have to look for your go-getters. You have to look for people who are just as passionate as you are about school improvement, doing what's best for children. You have to look for people who have high energy, who are enthusiastic, who are lifelong learners. And sometimes those people aren't your loudest in your organization. You have to look for those hidden gems as well. And sometimes when you pull those hidden gems, they become your best talent, your people who you never thought would be able to pull some projects off or implement some of the things that you have to do in your organization. But those people sometimes are your most talented people. So you have to give people an opportunity to showcase their talents as well.
Let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. Why is IXL used in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts? Because it works. IXL is research proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and special education classrooms. IXL is an all-inclusive online learning and teaching solution for K-12 that accelerates achievement, saves teachers time, and more. This one platform helps you accomplish what normally would require dozens of other tools. For example, as students practice skills, IXL automatically differentiates learning to help them master concepts at their own pace. Teachers get real-time insights into how students are performing so they can provide timely support. What I personally love about IXL are the personalized SAT and ACT study plans. Students just need to enter their most recent test score, and IXL automatically generates a custom list of skills they should work on to improve their scores. Discover what IXL can do for your school. Visit IXL.com/PM today. Are you ready for a tool that can help you elevate engagement and foster a culture of care and connection within your organization while also saving you time? Introducing Libra, your gateway to turning those culture-building insights into action. Discover how Libra transforms the way you engage with your team. Imagine integrating all your engagement efforts with platforms like Outlook or Gmail into one seamless experience. With Libra, you focus on people, not software. Celebrate the achievements that make your team unique, from personal milestones to professional accomplishments. Ensure you and your team have the means to meet their connection goals, fostering a workplace where everyone feels valued and understood. Don't let another day pass where engagement is just another item on your to-do list. With Libra, embark on a journey to increase efficiency, improve engagement, and cultivate a caring workplace. Ready to see the difference? Request a demo today at LibraHQ.com. That's LibraHQ.com, and take the first steps towards a workplace where everyone feels connected and cared for. Libra, where engagement meets genuine care. Pick us back to either Sherman or Vicksburg, and I want you to give a shout out to some of the people in your teams that were those hidden gems, that were able to help you guys accomplish that kind of school transformation.
Oh, the list goes on and on, but I will start with Cassandra Ringo. She is an absolute beast when it comes to English language arts. You have Sean Quinette Lumpkin. She's also a great ELA teacher. You have Holly Johnson. She's great at U.S. history. Antonio Cavan. He's also a great U.S. history teacher. So is Kenitra Tucker. Dion Carter. She's great in biology. Denitra Foy. Michelle Jones. She's also a great biology teacher. In regard to algebra, You have Makeba Turner, Courtney Jones. Those are all of the people who really helped move Vicksburg High School forward, kept a positive attitude. And let me not forget Ariel Patton as well. She's a great biology teacher. But those people really, really moved the needle. One of the things that I did, I put all of my state-tested teachers on the same hall at Vicksburg High School because I wanted to encourage cross-curricular planning. I wanted to encourage camaraderie. We had shared POCs. We also had cross-academy planning. They had common planning periods. So I really had to use my master schedule in very unique ways so they could plan together. But in the end, they were all able to synergize and throw all their ideas into a pot and say, hey, I never thought about it that way. Oh, yes, I can use that in my classroom. Or let me pull that U.S. history lesson and put it in English language arts for this standard for nonfiction or to use it as a writing prompt. So doing all those unique things and having all of those talented people in place really helped move the needle at Vicksburg High School. And when we received the recognition for the National Blue Ribbon School of Excellence, tears began to flow. Everybody was so, so excited. And I even called one of the people who eventually ended up moving out of state, Mia Butler. She was an excellent, she was my served as my lead teacher, and she was an excellent biology teacher. She even came back to celebrate with us. But the biggest achievement was when we achieved that B rating, because Vicksburg High School had been failing for over a decade. And for many of us, it was personal because that was our alma mater. So for us to achieve excellence, that B standard spoke volumes. And it was a testament to our leadership and to us having the right structures in place and the right people on the bus and then the right seat.
Oh my gosh, Tamika, this is why I wanted to get you in the room, because when I heard the story of Vicksburg High School and what you had done at Sherwin, and I knew that at Sherman, and I knew that you had lived this experience also in the place where you'd graduated and how personal this was to you guys. I just want to sit on for just a moment is the importance of how you built the structures necessary to support the growth. So not only did you identify the people who were passionate and committed, and I'm so glad you gave all the shout outs. you also strategized the structures of your school to support that work. And so let's sit here for just a moment longer. Why is it important for principals and leaders especially to understand how systems and structures set you up for what you want to become?
I truly believe that every organization is designed to get the results that they are getting. If you want different results, you have to change the design of your organization. And two people that I depended on to help me design the organization to make sure that we had the curriculum in place, because believe it or not, school improvement is based on two things, and it's teaching and learning and curriculum. And the curriculum is the beginning point. So Kristen Williams and Miranda Day were a part of my core leadership team who helped design the pacing guides, how we were going to teach certain standards, when we were going to teach certain standards, and various resources that we needed in order to move the school forward. Kristen, she was with me when I was also at Sherman Avenue. Miranda Day came on when I went to Vicksburg High School. So to have people who are willing to come with you, to help you, to me, meant the world to me, because apparently they believed in my leadership and they saw the potential in the organizations that we were charged with making better.
Organizations, I'm just quoting back UDU, organizations are designed to get the results that they achieve. And so I'm just going to park right there and speak directly to listeners. So Principal Matters listeners, and this is only meant as an encouragement, but it's also meant as a challenge. If you keep facing the same dilemma over and over and over again, then at some point stop and ask yourself, how are the structures in the place where we are currently designed that are creating the same dilemma, or that are contributing to the same dilemma, or that are not finding a solution for the same dilemma over and over again? And then ask yourself the harder question, which is what, how could we redesign possibly the structures that we have in place that might begin to create solutions for this? And so, Tamika, I know that that's a, like, theoretically that sounds lofty, but in practice, it's achievable. And you just gave a great example of that, how you guys specifically looked at those reading standards. You looked at, okay, where have we been and where do we want to go? And I'm just going to say to leaders too, that works for time management, that works for student behavior, that works for teacher accountability. All of those things are systems that contribute to the outcomes that we're currently experiencing. What would you add to that?
I would add that it's also important that leaders are intentional. One key person that's often overlooked in organizations is the school secretary. And when I went to Sherman and Vicksburg High School, I made sure that I had a secretary who knew my community. Because your secretary can talk parents down, or they can have them steaming mad by the time they get to you. So Tiffany Clough, she was great at, not only was she an amazing secretary, but she was able to have real conversations with parents. She would see them out and about in the community, and any misconceptions that they may have had about the school, she cleared that up. So don't forget your school secretary.
You need people who can relate
to your students. And with that regard, I would say this as well. You also need educators in the building who can relate to your students. I see posts on social media all the time about how teachers are getting younger, and teachers in my day dressed like this and they acted like this. Well, it's a new day. And we all know that. So you have to hire educators within your organization who can actually relate to your students as well. Because when we talk about authentic student relationships, those are relationships that make students work for their teacher. And in the words of Rita Pearson, students don't learn from teachers they don't like. Uh-huh. So we have to be mindful of that.
Oh, that's so true. And I'm so glad that you reminded us that every person in your building is integral to the mission and the vision of that school. Your staff, your secretaries, your cafeteria workers, your paraprofessionals. It's a community. And I love how Jimmy Casas says this so often in the work that he does with school leaders, that you're building a community. You're building a learning community. And so that means that there's no way you can do it alone. You have to lean on other people, but you have to leverage the kind of people who share the same vision and heart that you do for your community. Can you talk for a few minutes, Tamika, about your mindset around anticipating and approaching problems? Because they're inevitable. So how as a leader were you able to wrap your mind around rethinking how you anticipate and approach problems?
Well, first of all, before you take on any organization, you need to do your homework. You need to look at data trends. You need to look at the perceptions that the community may have of the school. And you need to look at various things that the organization may have gotten deemed for by the State Department. So when you do your homework and you're researching the organization in which you're going to lead, you already know that that may be a potential problem. This over here may be a potential problem if it's chronic absenteeism, if it's a low graduation rate. I know that I need to create structures to make sure that that's no longer a problem. And you can be completely transparent when you speak to the people within your organization or your community about potential problems that the organization may have and ways in which you are working to find solutions for those problems. And to me, that creates trust. That creates transparency. People don't feel like you have something to hide. And it makes them know that, hey, she's human and at least she's trying. So one of the things that Vicksburg High School struggled with for a while was graduation rate. The graduation rate at Vicksburg High School had been as low as like 53%. So one of the things that we did, we worked with school counselors so that they will understand the importance of tracking those students, making sure that those students had the correct credits, taking classes at the right amount of time and at the right time and graduating on time within their cohort. So we used to even invite some of our counselors to be a part of our POC meetings because their data is just as important as content data or the way students were performing in those state tested areas. So working with them to make sure that they understood their role in capitalizing or establishing student achievement was extremely important as well.
I love that. So let's talk to the leader who knows that every single day when they're stepping into their school, that he or she, even if they're building structures, even if they're hiring the right people, even if they're building the trust, that they're still going to have to lean into some challenges. And to talk about why that's an important part of leadership for you.
Leaning into challenges lets people know that you are equipped for the job. I'm not going to say that leaning into challenges lets people know that you're not fearful, because sometimes we have to lead when there's a little bit of fear there, because we understand that this is our call and this is what we were called to do. So leaning into problems allows people to really, really see what we're made of, and it allows ourselves to see what we're made of as well. And it creates an opportunity to showcase how sometimes your organization will pull together to overcome those obstacles and barriers that have been put in front of them. But the worst thing a leader can do is shy away from problems. Lean into them. Hey, we have a problem. Community, I need your help. You all may have more resources that we are not aware of, but our doors are open. Please come help us make our school better. And that creates more buy-in from your community, more transparency, and it gives community members a seat at the table.
Tamika, you are a seasoned and accomplished leader. And by the way, thank you again for the opportunity to introduce you to Principal Matters listeners, because you know the work and you've done the work and you help others to do the work. But I want you to go back in time. Let's pretend you could go back and talk to the Tamika 20 years ago. And this is a young leader you're sitting across from for just a coffee or a quick conversation. And they're looking at you and they're asking you, Tamika, tell me a couple of things that can help me as I'm stepping into this work. Because I have listeners, veteran listeners on this show, but I also have a lot of younger listeners too. So talk to that listener for just a minute about some things that you would want them to keep in mind in the complexity of this work that might help them in the years ahead.
No one knows it all. Do not be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Asking for help is really the smart thing to do. And sometimes you may want to have a talk with your predecessor. Capitalize on the things that they did that worked. Not everything that they did worked, but some of the things that they had in place may just need tweaking, but it could save you down the road. Give people in the organization an opportunity to learn who you are as a leader. I've seen leaders go in and clear the whole organization because they felt that the people in the organization would not be on board with their vision without giving them an opportunity to show them who they are or who they were as a leader. And always create structures and opportunities for people to showcase their talent, and never be afraid of the person in the organization who may give you a little pushback. Because sometimes those are the people who make us think about what we're doing in a totally different way, totally different light. And you have to remember that sometimes the people in your organization are also the people in your community. So you want to make sure that you are treating your people in your organization with dignity and respect. And sometimes they may be voicing the opinion or the perception of what the community may have about your organization. So always lend an ear to the people whom you are in charge of serving.
Wow, that's golden. So principal managed listeners, if you want to hit the rewind button right now, this would be a great time to take notes, because I'm taking notes. No one knows it all. Ask for help. Capitalize on your predecessors. Give people an opportunity to know who you are. Create opportunities for others to shine. Don't be afraid of resistors. And remember, the people in your schools and organizations are also the ones who live in your community. Dr. Tamika Hyland, oh my gosh, this was so golden for me. Thank you for the opportunity to connect with you. And as we wrap up, could you tell listeners how they can stay connected with you, and any other parting words or thoughts that you would have?
Well, listeners can reach me at Teacher Leadership Academy 601@gmail.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn as well. And one thing that I will say that I did not mention, hire big within your organizations. Hire people who fit your vision, recruit the best of the best, and get out of the way and allow them to lead and showcase their talents.
Well, the next time someone asks you, Principal Matters listeners, how do you turn around a school? I want you to say, well, let me introduce you to Dr. Tamika Hyland. Dr. Tamika Hyland, thank you so much for the opportunity to get to know you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And Principal Matters listeners, we'll put Dr. Hyland's contact information in the show notes so that you can connect with her and her resources. If you're looking for a transformational leader to bring into your organization, your school, or your district, then reach out to Dr. Tamika Hyland, or you can reach out to me and I can connect you with her. You know my email address, which is will@williamdparker.com. Until next time, thank you for doing what matters. We'll talk to you again soon. Find free resources like this one at williamdparker.com. Subscribe for our free weekly newsletter, which contains bonus material. And also check out the links for Grow Academies, Masterminds, Executive Coaching, and Keynote Presentations for my books, as well as for Principal Matters Associates. You can find out more under our speakers tab at williamdparker.com. Thank you for learning together, and thank you for doing what matters.